welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family, with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. Roger Rose tells this story. When he was a boy, more than 40 years ago, his younger brother was fatally injured in a tragic accident. A dirt road ran alongside their home, and only on rare occasions would an automobile be seen on it. But one day, as his brother was crossing on his bicycle, a car came roaring over a nearby hill, and he was run over and killed. Mr. Rose said, "Later, when my father picked up the mangled, twisted bike, I heard him sob out loud for the first time in my life. He carried it to the barn and placed it in a spot we seldom used. Father's terrible sorrow eased with the passing of time, but for many years, whenever he saw that bike, tears began to stream down his face." Mr. Rose continued, "Since then I have often prayed, 'Lord, keep the memory of your death that fresh to me. Every time I partake of your memorial supper, may my heart be stirred as if it occurred only yesterday. Never let the communion service become a mere formality, but always a tender and touching experience.'" With this lesson, we take up the very important subject of worship. This is Lesson 2 in the Correspondence Course, Guide to Christian Growth. We want you to have this entire course, so stay tuned for a special announcement at the close of the program. This lesson on worship is titled, "O God, How Great Thou Art." One of the most important words in the vocabulary of the Christian life is worship. Therefore, if a young Christian wants to be well-balanced and mature, he will see that this important spiritual exercise is not neglected. Worship is offering praise to God for who He is, the greatness of His person, and for what He has done for us, the greatness of His work. It is the overflowing of a heart that has been musing on Christ. Just as kneeling is the posture of the body in prayer, so worship is the posture of the soul in adoration. It is giving to God, not receiving from God, although invariably it results in blessing for the giver. Someone may ask, "But why is worship necessary?" Several reasons are found in the Bible. First, we were created that we might bring glory to God. Notice Isaiah 43, verse 7. That's Isaiah chapter 43 and the 7th verse. The Lord speaking, "For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." So when we are asked the question, "What is the chief end of man?" we can correctly reply, "The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever." Second, we were redeemed that we might bring honor to God. Christ died on Calvary to populate heaven and earth with worshipers. Third, God our Father seeks our worship. The Lord Jesus stated in John 4:23, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers." That was John 4:23. The only worship God receives is from redeemed lips. Only those who are God's children can worship the Father. And finally, we become like that which we contemplate. The story is told of a devout person in an eastern country who spent most of his time sitting in the temple and gazing upon an image of Buddha. He assumed the same squatting position with legs crossed, with hands on his lap, and with a solemn expression on his face. Visitors claim that he became so like the statue that it was difficult to distinguish them. Whether the story is true or not, it's certain that as we Christians gaze on the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's pause for some music, and may we use these quiet moments to worship the Lord. Before we take up some of the examples of worship, may we remind you that this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, and we're glad you're listening. We hope you'll write to us. We have many helpful correspondence courses, including the one that we're studying right now called Guide to Christian Growth. We're ready now to look at Lesson 2 and Page 2 of that lesson. Many instructive examples of worship are found in the Bible. We do well to study them carefully. Here are four instances from the New Testament that are rich in lessons for us. First, let's look at the worship of the wise men. They traveled far and brought costly gifts to Christ. Gold speaks of his deity, that he is God. Frankincense of his fragrant, sinless life. And myrrh of the bitterness of his suffering. It has been well said, wise men still worship him. Then notice the worship by the woman with the alabaster box of ointment. We read of this in Matthew chapter 26. She lavished what was most precious on the Lord Jesus. His disciples considered it a waste. It should have been given to the poor, they thought. But no act of worship is ever a waste in the eyes of God. The third example is that of Mary. You remember the story. In this incident, worship is contrasted with service. Mary was occupied with Christ, while Martha was occupied with the meal. Worship and service are both important, but doesn't the Lord's comment at the end of the story imply that worship should come first? Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. The Lord Jesus speaks. This is Luke 10, 41 and 42. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. Our last example is the worship of the cleansed leper. 10 lepers were cleansed, but only one returned to glorify God. The Lord's sad question, "Where are the 9?" indicates that many are glad to receive his healing touch, but few bother to respond with their praise and admiration. You'll find that story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Now the question, how to worship? We would suggest two ways, both of which are essential in the Christian life. First, individual worship. We can include worship in every prayer. Every time we speak to God, we can express our personal appreciation for all that the Lord means to us. Philippians 4:6 is a good verse on that. That's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Psalms provide us with marvelous examples of worship. It's a good practice to memorize portions of these poems and adopt the language as our own. And then there are many hymns of worship which we can sing from our hearts or quote in our prayers. A lovely example is the familiar hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Lord of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Secondly, we can worship when we meet with the church. There is one meeting of the church which has been especially associated with worship from the earliest days, and that's the Lord's Supper, otherwise known as communion or breaking of bread. On the night of his betrayal, the Lord Jesus instituted this feast in order that his followers might first remember him. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." Second, proclaim his death. In 1 Corinthians 11:26 we read, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." That was 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Third, as we worship him in this way, we look forward to his return. The closing words of that passage that we just looked at, 1 Corinthians 11:26, are these, "You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And fourth, worship at the Lord's table is a witness to the unity of the body of Christ. One loaf and one cup remind us that all true believers are members of that glorious fellowship, the fellowship or communion of the body of Christ. No definite command is given as to the frequency with which the remembrance feast should be held. The Apostle Paul simply said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup." However, there's a strong indication that the early disciples gathered on the first day of each week to observe this solemn memorial. You might note down this reference and look it up later. That's Acts 20 and verse 7. In closing our study of worship, we do well to grasp these important principles. And thus, we've been looking at Lesson 2 in the course Guide to Christian Growth. For those studying at home, it's time to do exam number 1. For the rest of our friends, we encourage you to stay tuned for our address. If you have questions, please send them to us. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.